This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you could press a button that would give you a great deal of money, but it would cause someone you don't know in a distant part of the world to die,
then you would have a good model for how our current economy works.
Good morning, Night Vale. Hi, it's me, Hal. You know.
And hey, it's me, Symphony. And you know.
Hi, it's me, Meg. And you don't know. This is us. And what you don't know is that we are recording the podcast Good Morning Night Vale. Actually, you do know that because you're listening to it. So this is the podcast Good Morning Night Vale, where we go back and re-listen to every episode of the hit popular cult podcast Welcome to Night Vale. And we talk about it and we tell stories and we engage in friendship via Zoom, via podcast for you to listen to. Oh, and friendship. And today is March the 2nd.
Friendship.
It's 8:09 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
And this is episode 105. The description of episode 105 is, here's what happened at the Smithwick house. Smithwick. I mean, okay, I'm gonna tell you, when I see, there's a beer that's named this, but I call it Smithix.
Smix.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
That sounds like you're saying it. That sounds like you're saying it backwards. Smix. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Weird family alert. The Smithix. The dad's a weirdo, and people are weird and don't like, the neighbors don't like them. This is what this episode centers around. This strange family that we've never heard of before.
We heard about them.
Right?
We have.
Have we heard of them?
There was a brief mention of them in episode 27, First Date.
Oh, that's why Carlos says at the, timey-wimey.
Yep, that is why Carlos said timey-wimey. I actually wrote down timey-wimey. Yeah.
This is great. That's great. Oh, I love little things like that. But that's why I was like, whoa, that's spooky that he said that at the end. And now it makes more sense because it actually. So what do you remember what happened in that episode? Episode 27, I don't know her. Whoever that woman was that listened to that episode, she's gone.
Oh, yeah, we recorded that long before the Panera. Yeah.
The pandemic. Lovato.
Yeah, we were summer children then.
Yeah.
We were just like the sweetest little summer children then. Let me look this
still
up.
Still recording like this.
Let me look this up.
Because we were in three different cities. This is always the way.
Yeah, we always recorded like this. We were trendsetters.
Yeah.
We really laid out the blueprint for how to podcast.
Who knew?
In a panorama. We really laid the groundwork.
Yeah.
And blazed the trail.
We had the model already tested and I think we're successful.
Yeah. In fact, you could say we defeated COVID-19 ourselves by podcasting remotely.
That's right.
Years before it ever happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're the only podcasters you can trust.
Anyway, thanks for listening. This has been Good Morning Night Vale, episode 105. Creepy family, put the flashlight under your chin. Story time.
Okay. So... Yeah. In episode 27, First Date, Cecil warns the people that their strange hole might appear on their walls, and it's important to be cautious after what happened at the Smithwick house.
Mm.
Oh, see, this is another example of Joseph and Jeffrey pulling something from obscurity, like a dang mention. It wasn't even, it could have been a flight of fancy. It didn't mean anything back then. But now it's led to this whole really spooky disappearing, slow disappearance of this family in which they suspect the dad the whole time because it usually is.
Yeah, because he definitely did it.
So. Totally. Except now he gone.
Or is he? Just to cover his tracks there.
Yeah. So
anyway. He's in the walls. I talked to Joseph about this. I was like, well, this was before, was that show Stranger Things? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Joseph asked him about this. He's like, yeah, I wrote this episode. He's like, I wrote this episode in 2013 when I wrote First Date. So the Smithwick episode had been in his bed, probably in draft form from that time. But he was like saving it for something. And then eventually, like, it just kind of, he had been saving it. And then he was like, let's use it. And so, like, 4 years later, he used it. But it had been so.
It does have that feel to it. Yeah, we're coming in and out of a story that you could remove every other element of the episode and just put it as a short story on its own. And it works, which is kind of the fun of it, that it's sort of a bottle episode that isn't a bottle episode.
Totally. Was that all you were going to say about it?
Anyway, thank you for listening to Good Morning Night Vale, episode 105. Did you hear that creak? Did that come through in the microphone of me leaning back in this chair?
I did.
Chair is not happy.
I thought it was your
happy.
Old bones.
Every time I'm
hey, my hips are creaking. I'm trying to stand.
No, I'm terrified to shift in this chair whenever I'm recording because it just is.
No.
You can sort of hear that. You can't hear that. It doesn't get picked up on the mic, but chair's not happy. It just wants to be left alone.
I recorded my audiobook in a squeaky chair.
Ugh.
And so I had to hold very, very still, which was, you know, super easy to do when you're sitting for like 8 hours and you're very pregnant.
Oh, my gosh. No wonder you busted your back. Right. You were just like holding yourself in one position like you had a corset on, girl. And you're sitting on the edge of a settee.
Yes. It was the engineer was super nice about it, though. Like when I would get up to go to the bathroom, he would like go and WD-40 the chair. And WD-50 or WD-40?
40.
40.
40.
Yeah.
Water displacement.
Yes. And so he would do that, but still, like, we would get a take, and the director would be like, I heard a creak. I'm like, damn it.
Oh, no.
Just tell people the audiobook is haunted. It's fine.
Yeah. So if you ever listen to the first 10 years, you definitely won't be able to hear it, but just know that they're there.
But that's, as a diva sort of person, that's when you're like, well, get me a new chair, and you throw it against that like bulletproof,
it's bulletproof
window,
it's bulletproof
that they have.
Yeah,
it's made to hold the Joker. That's where they keep him.
It's soundproof, might as well be.
This chair is creaky.
I feel like they should have put you in a Barca lounger to do that audiobook. You know, they could tilt the microphone up, and then it just sounds so relaxed.
I was actually just like, in the drum room of a studio. So it was like there was the mixer in one room, and then there was a whole recording studio. And then at the back of the recording studio, there were like patio doors, like sliding patio doors. And I was in the room behind the sliding patio doors.
Why did they're like, that's where we keep the creaky chair. That's where you go.
I think it was... Because it was just like one voice, and it was a big studio that I was in, so it was like a smaller booth. And then also it was COVID time, so as much distance unmasked, because I had my mask off because I was recording between me and the engineer. It was before those vaccines. But then I got a vaccine between pickups and the initial record. So you might be able to hear the vaccine in me in the second half of when I recorded the pickups, you could hear it.
But they didn't vaccinate the chair against creaking.
You can hear the 5G.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you get 5G? Is there a bunch of 5G in your book?
This has been the story of me. I was about this time last year. It was a tender time.
Wow.
Your book's almost a year old, like your baby.
Yeah. My baby is 45 years old now, guys. Yeah.
That's crazy.
She's 8 months old.
She's running for president.
Yeah. Got my vote.
I would vote for her.
She's great.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And I cannot wait to hug your baby.
She can't wait either.
What else can't wait is the rest of this episode. So
anyway, thank you for listening to Good Morning Nightvale, episode 105. And I will keep going back to this well, even when it's dry near the bucket clanking around. Sorry, you were saying it's not yet. There's still, there's more water, I swear.
Just when you think it's dry, you just keep digging.
Just a quick question. If there was a weird hole in your wall, would you look into it?
I would move. I would sell it. And I put a poster of Rita Hayworth over that thing, and I would sell it. Yeah, it would go for hundreds of thousands of dollars over asking price because it's in Los Angeles.
Yeah, in this economy.
No, I'd be terrified. I'd be terrified to find something like that. That's like a nightmare.
You're not the type to go looking at strange things that you find in a home.
No, but you're not either, right?
Oh, no. I thought that was a given. I thought everyone would.
I know. I knew it was. That's why I was surprised. I was like, she's really going after this line of questioning. I already know the answer.
I'm just wondering.
No, I'd be terrified.
I'm wondering what you would do. You know what I mean? What about you, Meg?
I don't know. I kind of have a weird house. So I would not be surprised if, like, somewhere in the basement of my house, there's just a hole in the wall with all that weird. Because, like, have you been in my basement in New York?
I haven't yet.
Yeah.
In the rock room? The room with, like, the.
No, I don't go in there, girl. That's where.
Yeah, you didn't. Okay.
Dark spirits.
Oh, no.
That's where I found the snake that time. Yeah.
No, see?
Yeah. To the portal.
The serpent. He's coming for you.
It's just a hole of snakes in your house.
Yeah. Oh, that's somehow worse. If it's a hell mouth, whatever, cover that shit back up. But, like, not with snakes. No. Snake pit. No, thank you.
Oh, you're all good.
I'm good. I'm good on either of those. But the answer, no, I would not look or reach inside of any hole in a wall. I think that would be a silly thing. Oh, Cecil kind of confirmed our initial idea about the re-education thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would have had to go to re-education, but he sideswiped that by distracting the city council regarding their relationship.
The cheese.
With station management.
All that hot goss.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at that sort of thing, you know? And I guess if you're having a tough time with your relationship, you know, like it's not really working or you have to work really hard for it, it's obviously city council is trying to work to keep the relationship or something, right?
Yes, not a rough patch.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in an icy patch is how it's described. Not a rough patch, but an icy patch.
Right.
So, and very smart of Cecil to be like, I know, get people to talk about themselves and talk about what the most pressing thing is, and then they'll just be completely distracted. And also because, as you know, city council terrible at their job. So very easily led astray with just getting them to blather on about themselves.
Do we have a general fascination just as a species with relationships that are not our own? Like a need to know or a desire to know or desire to talk about. Is that why reality TV is so popular? Is that why I watched two seasons of Love is Blind?
I mean, it's so good. But yeah, I think so. I think people are interested in like relationships and other people's business. We're all cheesemosas.
This may be, I don't know how many. What? No, I don't know how many of our listeners watched the second season of Love is Blind, but somebody...
Is there a ghost behind me?
Somebody recently said that Shane looks like he's trying to hide... He's been bit by a zombie and trying to hide it. And then I saw a bunch of pictures. He's constantly very wide-eyed and looking suspicious. Like he's... Yeah, he's always like...
And he's like...
hiding. Like it does look like he's been bit. He's the guy in the movie that's like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And he's constantly covering his forearm, which has a patch of skin taken out of it. He thinks he's tough. Yeah. And then, you know, they're going to have to chop his head off at some point because then there's a zombie in the bunker.
And even when he was up at the altar, he was like this. He was
just bizarre.
And I'm like, what the hell? Calm down.
That's just ridiculous.
But yes, I think we are interested in other people's stories. I mean, I think that's why... I mean, storytelling is one of the oldest, you know, sort of things
right.
that we did to entertain ourselves, right? So, you know, something that we can relate to, something that we're interested in, something that we didn't know. We're curious people, humans, you know?
Yeah, we are naturally curious. And we're curious about each other and also curious about things that don't necessarily have a ton of logic to them and are sort of intimate. So like a relationship between two people, specifically a romantic relationship. This is cheesy, mm-hmm. but there is some sort of a magic there, right? There is some sort of a, why mm-hmm. do these two people connect? Why do these two people able to, you know, have this very intimate relationship? What, why? So that's why we're interested, is we want to know why, because we want to be able to kind of reflect that into our lives and our experience by looking at the experiences of others. So there's just a little yeah. bit of magic. So we're curious about it. It's like when you find out someone died and your first question is yep. how? Because yeah. you don't want to die that way. You want to try to figure it out, right?
Right. How can I prevent this in my life?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am also mm-hmm. just extremely nosy.
I want to know.
I realized that I don't know why I think about this stuff, but I'm like, if the cops ever came and were like, what happened to so-and-so? I'd be like giving them all the information. You know, ACAB and everything, but I like the dirt on people. I'm like, so-and-so, they live up there. They lived there for like 3 years. They've had two girlfriends. And I mean, I know all your business. If I'm your neighbor, I know your business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I met one of my neighbors today, yeah. and she also knows everyone's business because we were both like instantly started talking about everyone on the block. And I'm
okay.
like being like, this person, they have this kind of house. And I'm like, yeah, but I never see anyone there. She's like, oh, I saw people there the other day. But I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't look like anyone lives there. She's like, yeah, no, it doesn't. Like, it was just like instantly like.
And maybe that's a thing of protection as well, because you're like, well, I want to know who's around me. Like, this is my nest, right? And I've got to protect my nest. So I want to make sure that the stuff surrounding my nest
sure.
is safe, right?
Yeah. I also think that
it's natural.
It's natural. We've talked about this before, but like as actors, we're curious about people because we yeah. you know, study people and the way people together and mm-hmm. the way relationship together. So that's something that's always fascinating to us.
Yeah.
It's something we really pay attention to. Maybe everyone's not like us.
Maybe not.
Tell us, hashtag not like you, hashtag just like you.
And thank you for listening to episode 105 of Good Morning Night Vale.
Celebrities. Hashtag Good Morning Night Vale. Hashtag episode 105.
Hashtag my birthstone was in the Children's Fun Fact Science Corner.
Oh,
what's your birthstone? Is it garnet?
Garnet, yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen a garnet in my life. I couldn't tell you what
they're
it looks
beautiful.
Like.
They're beautiful.
I don't want it described. I'm sure they're beautiful. They're red. Oh, now I know. Now it's ruined. Now I'm going to look at it and go, you're not a ruby.
Actually, I think garnets are prettier than rubies.
Oh, yeah. They're way better because it's my birthstone. I'll fight all of you February children.
Yeah, because you're a Capricorn, right? You're like end of
yes.
Capricorn, like January 18th, whatever.
I think beginning. I'm ninth on the ninth, so early Capricorn. We tried to work this out one time okay. where it's like, I'm Capricorn, but Aries in a car, and then it's driving past Pisces that's fishing into a Sagittarius lake or some. I don't know all that stuff. I'm not – because you were asking me like, what time of day were you born? And I asked him, my dad, he's like, I don't remember.
I actually think I still have your – I think I still have pictures of your chart.
You do? Wait, what did it say? Are you looking now?
I'm going to have to go back. I think so.
Do you keep a file?
No, I'll
do you have a file
it.
On me? You have to tell me if you do.
I do. I told you I'm nosy. I'm like, what is he alluding to? He doesn't like this.
What's he doing?
He really doesn't like vegan food.
I've been very clear about that. That's, you don't need a file for that.
You straight up refused to have lunch with Symphony and I.
He refused.
I did. I wanted to be with you, but I couldn't.
Really good.
I was hungry.
But it's diner food, Hal. It's like giant plates of French toast.
I know. Listen, the number of vegan restaurants I've eaten at in and around the Los Angeles area is not unsubstantial. But for me, I've never found a vegan restaurant whose food I really liked. And even once I've gone back to, I've been like, I don't remember why I'm here. But I love that for people who don't eat meat and don't eat dairy, that there is an option for them that they love and cherish and think is great. I support that 100%. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what I ate that day. You went, I guess, because the diner's right next to a big, beautiful church, right? That vegan diner, isn't it near like a church or like a something like that? There's some like historic building that it's next to, right?
I'm sure it's like in, well, North Lakeview now, but Boys Town. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff around
there.
Yeah,
I did not. I flat out refused. I went and got like, I went to like Potbelly Sam. I don't even remember what I did. It wasn't anything special.
Refused.
But there was meat involved. I'm sure of it. Sorry.
Well,
thank you for listening to episode 105.
It is what it is.
And Symphony and I, we're not vegan.
I know you're not. That's the thing.
We're not.
No.
All right, I'll go next time. I'm promising here on the air.
Yeah. We just like it. It's good. Anyway, but don't lie to the people. Oh, you're promising.
I'm not. Oh. I'm telling the truth. I promise. I will go. Ooh. You said French toast. I will try right. The French toast.
It's the cinnamon buns, actually, right? That's the thing there, the cinnamon rolls.
And that's what I'll get. Whatever it is, I will let you be my guide. You know what I like and what I don't like.
Yeah, you'll get a milkshake and some cinnamon rolls. And
it'll be good. It'll be all good.
They also, I don't think they're fully vegan. I think they have eggs.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they have vegetarian.
Okay.
My birthstone was buried by drifting sands. Never to be seen again. So... But it's an opal. It's an opal. I'm an October birthday.
Opal is your birthday. Did you get, were you given like opal things as you were growing up? Because like this is your birthstone.
Yes.
This is what you, because I never got that.
I got a couple of those things. And a couple of them have been because like I really do love them. I think they're so beautiful. And they're, but the problem is they're soft. Like they're
right.
The stone itself is like on the hardness scale, like it isn't really great for like rings and stuff, which sucks because I think they're, cause it's kind of like shimmery, you know, like multicolored, but nope. I think it said yours was garnet, but it isn't really garnet.
No, mine is it says if you were born in April, your birthstone is flat and gray and sits next to a pond. It's dusty and warm in the sunshine, and you put it against your cheek. If you put it against your cheek, it would feel like taking a long walk on a nice day. That's nice. Yeah.
I love those rocks.
Oh, that sounds kind of nice.
My actual birthstone's a diamond.
Woo! Okay.
Diamond.
Diamond. Speaking of hardness, diamond.
Yeah, they are the hardest on the Mohs scale of hardness. I love that stuff. Actually, Cecil and I recently went to the Natural History Museum in New York, and they had a like mineral thing, like a whole like big display of all these like minerals and like gemstones and all this stuff. It was very cool. And it did show the birthstones. And I really got a good look at all of them. And they're very beautiful. I mean, they all have their own special thing.
And if you put them all in a gauntlet and snap your fingers, half of all life across the universe disappears. Did you know that? That's right.
Thanos said
it's just
shit.
A bigger glove.
Yeah.
There's just more room.
Yeah.
It's not just the six. There's 12 of them.
You have to actually have like 12 fingers. It's like it's a muffler. It's like a muffler, actually.
Yeah, you have like nails. Mm-hmm. It's a compression sleeve. You put all the stones on it and then snap.
I did think this was a fun... This is Children's Fun Fact Science Corner.
Yes,
is that what this was? Yeah. I thought this was a fun new take on that segment. Because there's like a lot of time there's the horoscopes and not like a lot of time, but like there's the sort of things that are done. And birthstones was a new way to kind of structurally go through the year and make jokes. I thought it was funny. And I thought it was smart. I'll leave it at that.
Agreed. Also, that something that was funny and smart was the traffic. That was wild. The thing about the imagination and imagining snow. And then it goes off the rails talking about Zardoz and Erdzog and Tom, the pet of the queen or whatever, this alien species. I thought that was fun and weird. And I was like, that's great. But don't you also always, did you ever have that sort of imagination when you were a kid, like telling your, like making up stories?
No.
No?
Yeah, sometimes.
How you did?
A little bit. Not like you know, it was with toys. I would like you go off the have the toys and create a whole world. By the way, this is is this is all related to the 1974 John Borman film Zardoz?
Wait, what?
There is a movie called Zardoz. It is a terrible sci-fi movie from 1974 starring Sean Connery. And if you've ever seen the picture of Sean Connery in the red, Elsky's in a harness. He's just wearing like underwear with a harness over him. That's his character. That's Zed in Zardoz. And at Dragon Con every year, there are always multiple people dressed up like Zed. But you just say like, oh, that's Zardoz cosplay. Nobody's dressing as anybody else from that movie. And there are always a bunch of people dressed like that. So as soon as I saw, as soon as I heard Zardoz, I was like, oh, sure.
That's funny.
I'm going to go check in with Joseph on that right now. BRB.
Thank you. Do you remember seeing those people, Symphony?
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, maybe I've not. That's what's so funny is like, I see a lot of cosplay that I don't understand like what it is. So I just am just like, I kind of just shrug and I'm like, that's nice. You know, I'm excited that people are putting in an effort.
Oh, I like that we're getting the answer right now.
coming back.
What's the tea, mama?
Joseph Fink, author of the episode, confirmed that he's never seen the film Zardoz.
A lot of people haven't. I assume it's the name, like maybe the name was in his subconscious somewhere. He heard it or saw it somewhere. It's not the plot. Like the story that is in this episode is not at all the story of Zardoz in any way, shape, or form. I've sent you both, by the way, a picture of Sean Connery in his iconic outfit, which you, Symphony, should almost immediately recognize as something you've seen a lot at Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is Sean Connery as Zed.
Yeah, I did not know.
Yeah, it's okay. Not a lot of people do, but because I'm aware of it, that dominated my brain as soon as I saw Zardoz.
I could see why people would, like, back in the day would have been like, yeah, though, look at that man.
Sure.
Hunk man. Because he's very, like, manly looking. It's a little a la Burt Reynolds. But, like, I find it repulsive. It gives me the ick. But I think just because it looks like his pants are hiked up, like, in a weird way. I don't like the cut. I need a little bit more razzmatazz than that.
Yeah, there's a lot of fault to find in that outfit.
But... Yeah, I think it's more the facial hair for me, but yes. So traffic was weird, but I found it fun and different.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting way to talk about snow. Cecil had never seen falling snow.
Yes, that he did not go to investigate that patch out on Route 800.
Snow in the deserts.
I mean. Kind of sometimes that happens. I mean, right? Like, but in, because it gets really cold at night, right? Up in the mountainous area of the, right?
Yeah. When I was in the high desert, gets snow.
Mm-hmm. Do they get snow? Okay. I'm saying this not as an, I am not an expert on deserts.
You and I have been in the desert when it was snowing. When we were in Santa Fe in 2019, there was snow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I drove through a snowstorm in New Mexico years ago. This is like 2000, 2001, somewhere in there. But it was gorgeous, and it was at night, and it was all – we ended up driving through, I think, through like a reservation or something. Like there was some odd like turn off, go this way, and it became very dark but also beautiful. And I've driven through New Mexico so many times, and it's almost always like 100 degrees. It was crazy to see that it could snow as well.
Yeah.
Wild. But you don't know the things that you don't know, you know?
Exactly.
Until you are there. Because most people would think that all deserts are like hot, you know? But not necessarily. They get very cold at night. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway. So let's talk more kind of about the Smithwick story. Mm. So it's this family and they're sort of troubled, but not violently so, which is kind of an interesting dynamic where it's like there's this tension in the household from the father, but he doesn't, like, it's almost like he doesn't know that he's being toxic, I guess. And
it seems like it's just under the surface, right?
Yeah. And then his family, his wife gets pregnant And right. Then his family starts to vanish. And there's the painting of the colors of, in the nursery, the greens that are just like, yeah, there's just a lot of sort of unsettling imagery where nothing is like blood and gore and guts or like sort of screaming bump in the night stuff. But it's really just like,
yeah,
this, everything's kind of like a little bit off and just eerie. And yeah, it's a sort of interesting tinge of horror. It's very subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime I encounter that type of horror, and it can be always, it's very smart because it just puts you off just enough where you feel like off kilter a little bit or uneasy somehow. And I think that really can affect like your perception and that repetition of like, talking about the color, talking about going back to the room, the routine that he keeps going through every time, you know, he gets up, he makes breakfast, he goes to work, you know, he comes home, he makes dinner, goes to bed type thing. And then those little subtle changes that, you know, the neighbors are looking, you know, and then the green is now like more sickly, or they hate it more, or it becomes more violent, or you're the other, what they're seeing through the hole, what they're feeling through the hole, you know, type thing. And then people disappearing. No.
Yeah. And then there's the left behind thing. I think we've talked about this before too. That's always really creepy when it's like, the existence of life sort of abandoned. So the abandoned house that still has everyone, all the stuff in it untouched, like that sort of, the like Pompeii sort of. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
Yeah. That's creepier because it's all the way they left it. Not like, it's not like it was rifled through or busted down or, you know, abused because somebody was like killed in there. It's just like as if like a family just is out for the day.
Yeah.
But then the food is all rotting because nobody's there anymore. It's like they got raptured.
It's almost like the house devoured them and didn't stop until they were all gone. Because once he's gone, then the hole is gone as well. Like the house is done. Whatever entity is behind that, or whatever force is creating those walls, is now their job is done. This building has been, you know, it doesn't want anything but those lives. And it could be that the behavior of that family is maybe it leeches energy until it's time to take the rest of it. Maybe it's a slow process. Even though the disappearances feel sudden, just the odd behavior and this guy who's, I love the idea of the fact that you can smell like the anger that's bubbling under the surface. Maybe that's what it feeds off of, is that extreme volatile emotion, whether it's expressed or unexpressed. Maybe it's more powerful if it's unexpressed. Makes it yummier.
That's freaky, and I love it. The house ate them. Yeah, and that's why, and now it's gone. This house has been cleansed.
Yeah. Yeah, and then so Carlos calls into the station and says that he's thinking about having quinoa bowls for dinner. Quinoa bowls is something that I – actually, this is full circle here. Quinoa – I make this, and you know where I got the recipe from?
You make this all the time.
That vegan diner that Hal refused to go to with us.
I didn't realize it was part of Night Vale lore. I would have gone.
I didn't realize it either. But yeah, that's the like thing from the Chicago diner that's got like the quinoa and the blackened tofu and and the sweet potato. That's what a quinoa bowl is.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite joke in this whole episode is dancing on the stars.
I love that. I know. I wrote that down. I was like, dancing on the stars. I had to go back and listen to it again because I was like, did he say dancing on the stars? Okay.
Yeah. I like it just fine.
Yeah.
That might be a more interesting show. No, Dancing with the Stars is fun.
I've never watched a single episode of it.
I don't watch that show, but if it's on somewhere, I'll pay attention. I like dancing.
They always have like problematic people on it though. Like Sean Spicer.
I just like to see people dancing.
Yeah. It's like a, and featuring, it's like all these other people that Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like Mike Pence is like so close to being on it. Mother.
Mother. Yeah. Only mother. Ugh. I'm going to throw up.
He can only dance with his wife, though.
Mother.
I can't have dinner with other women without my wife there. That's weird. You're weird.
Yeah, very weird. Anyway, so we're sort of in the timey-wimey thing because Carlos is like, yeah, this happened before. And Cecil's like, no, it didn't. So we're in this chunk of Night Vale timeline that we're in, this season of Night Vale. There's so much timey-wimey happening that it's sort of another, like, oh, how is this
gonna, right.
How is this forgotten, remembered thing going to pull together with the rest of the timey-wimey stuff that is out in the mix right now?
I mean, sometimes I think I'm like, maybe Cecil hasn't, like maybe he got, like, re-educated or forgot or, like, he doesn't sometimes even pay attention to the stuff that he says. Like, he forgets, like, stuff that he just, like, reported on. So, I guess it's not, like, too far off to think that he might have actually just forgotten that he's reported on that thing, right?
No, it's not too far off. Sometimes I'll be like, Joseph, we're doing this episode tonight. And he'll be like, I have absolutely no idea who wrote that episode or what it's about. I'll be like, oh, it's this one. Oh, yeah, okay, I remember that now. But, I mean, written 203 episodes of Welcome to Night Vale? I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't possibly remember each episode, like, you know. And you're constantly coming up with other stuff, you know, writing books and other episodes and stuff. No.
So, yeah. And then, you know, good night, Night Vale, good night.
Up next, we hear from fans and friends of the podcast. But first, a conversation about this episode's weather.
Yeah.
You Cannot by Aaron McCown.
Iraq.
The best.
Yes.
My Michael McDonald buddy. Or Aaron Neville.
Woohoo!
And Michael McDonald. We do it all. But it's a lot of Aaron Neville.
Of course.
It's a lot of... If you were to come backstage to the Night Vale show where...
A little bit of both, actually, yeah.
Both Aaron and I are present. You will hear a lot of just like a language. Like we're... like it's kind of similar to Aquaman on Justice League when he would... Yeah. It would be do like the... Boom, 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 when he would communicate with fish. But we communicate with a series of Aaron Neville runs at one another.
Yeah.
And then giggles. It's like summer camp. Everything you think is true, it is that fun.
It is.
And then giggles.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah.
It is, actually. I wish we were like bragging and like lying about it, but like we actually aren't. It's like you get to hang out with like your friends and be silly and
eat hummus.
You sure do.
Make go-go bread. And drink seltzer.
Sing Aaron Neville runs.
And not go to vegan restaurants.
And eat hummus.
And sit back.
And make go-go bread.
I said not go.
Not go.
Actively avoid vegan restaurants. You know, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. Aaron McKeown, what incredible talent.
Absolutely.
This is off of her 2017 album, Mirrors Break Back. We heard this song a lot because she would play it in her set a bit on the road with us. Aaron will be back out on the road with Welcome to Night Vale in April with us on the West Coast.
Nice.
So that's really exciting. She's a wonderful person and wonderful musician. And more than like a musician, too, she's an educator and a composer. And like, I was looking at her website because I was like, oh, let's, you know, I was trying to remember what album this was off of. And I fell into like an Aaron McKeown website hole. And she offers private music lessons and she teaches at universities and she writes musicals that are, you know, off Broadway and she produces albums. And she's just a multi-talented person who is very productive with her art. She has made a ton of albums and, she's got a dog. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
A Renaissance woman, Aaron McKeown. And she's just cool and fun and has awesome hair. Yep.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I love the way she dresses for the stage. Come on. Oh, just like she gets it. She gets it. Like, that's it. Right?
Absolutely. We stan Erin McKeown in this house.
Eric McCoyler?
Eric McKe- what was the one that?
Oh, Eric McCoyler.
Eric McCoyler! Oh, my God. Yeah. The joke, for those of you who don't know this joke, Erin McKeown, as with a lot of people with a more interesting or just like slightly Erin is a very common name, but McKeown is like maybe not the most common of names. And so people have a tough time apparently figuring it out. And it's just so funny the lengths people will go to not hear McKeown or not hear Erin McKeown. And henceforth we have Eric McCoyler,
which I believe was like written on a dressing room door. It was like something that like you have like just, it's not like you misheard it. It's like you just didn't copy it down properly from the email. Like Eric McCoyler.
Hey, yeah, I know Eric McCoyler. That's the only one I know.
That's the most made up name. Like McCoyler? Who do you know named McCoyler?
McCoyler.
No.
All right.
I just can't.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should take an entire slice of pizza and roll it up and call it a calzone.
I thought you were going to say a handful of quaaludes. And I was like, where's she going?
We should take a handful of quaaludes.
Put them in a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
Mash it up. Put that in a blender.
Drive down to Tijuana.
Drive down to TJ. Yes. Little Sleezers, is that what you call
it? I haven't.
Wait, before what we... Is it? Have you guys seen this Batman calzone thing that Little Sleezers is trying to do? I am repulsed. Yeah, that's what I call it.
It's a pizza folded into the Batman logo to celebrate the release of The Batman in theaters March 4th. It'll already be out by the time you listen to this.
That's what I call it. But...
Batman calzone.
It's horrifying, Meg. I'm going to find a picture of it and I'm going to send it to you.
It's really bad. It doesn't make you want to eat.
They call it a Batman calzone. It's horrifying.
Or anything else that is in a pizza box from Little. It will shake you to your core. Yeah.
I would say like we should eat it on the Patreon. And then I was like, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat that.
Great. So that would be a danger. Let's see what else they'll eat.
Yeah. I've eaten a lot of messed up stuff for comedy in my day.
Yeah. It's enough.
It's enough. I'm full.
You've done your time.
I'm full. I'm full of eating joke food.
Finally stuffed. I'm not going to. Oh, it's on Michigan Live? That's the one you came up with, the Michigan. You just pulled a picture of the Batman.
How do I make it go?
That's like literally, I just Googled. I couldn't figure out how to just put the picture in the chat.
How do I make the picture go? I boomered out
there for a second.
I sent you a link, but it's all Comic Sans in purple. and it says forward 900 times in the subject line.
Send. Oh my God.
Right.
I'm sorry. I couldn't figure out how to do it. So
don't know how. Because
usually on my phone, I would just
send
a screenshot or whatever. But like, I don't know how. I don't know how my computer works. I don't know how
computer. Please, computer. I'm begging you. Like,
computer.
Computer, help.
Siri, please send. Oh no, I can't talk too loud. She'll hear me.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
Hey, Anyway, what's in this calzone?
Help me. Help me, baby. All right, go ahead, Meg.
All right. Katie writes, hello there, Meg, Symphony, and Hal. In episode 105, I've always found Cecil's line, Mr. Smithwick was a gloomy man. He had an anger inside of him. He hadn't used this anger to do anything. But Mrs. Smithwick could smell it, and the children could smell it. To be an odd way to describe someone's anger. But up until now, I always thought of the wording in a unique and poetic Night Valley sort of way. Did I say that line right at all?
Yes.
Okay, good. Reading's hard for me. Anyway, back to Katie's email. I was thinking about the line at random the other day and started to wonder, what does anger smell like? And my brain instantly thought of skunk, you know, as in if you make a skunk angry or startled, it'll spray you, sort of stink. Despite some of the more human sounding descriptors Cecil uses, arm, fingers, hole about a foot wide, etc., is it possible the Smithwicks could be some sort of sentient or anthropomorphic family of skunks, and maybe the hole in the wall was just some sort of exterminator trying to remove them from the location? It wouldn't exactly be the weirdest thing to broadcast over the news of Night Vale, right? Much love from me to you, Katie. I think that's an interesting take, thinking of them not as people.
It's very Fraggle Rock. There's an entire world in the baseboards.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole civilization under the Desert Flower Bowling Alley, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Stranger Things could be possible. Why not? Why not is my answer to that. Skunk cops.
Huh. But the cops were outside, and they talked to them, right? I cannot argue with that. Next up, we have Rose in the Calzone. Rose writes, hi, Hal, Symphony, and Meg. My name is Rose, and I love your podcast so much. Aw, Rose, thank you. We love you so much. Continuing on, I enjoy hearing your thoughts on some of my favorite episodes and whatever behind-the-scenes stuff y'all may know. Night Vale has inspired my writings in many ways, like the perfect balance of comedy and horror. Some episodes delve more into horror. Episode 105, What Happened at the Smithwick House, is one of the scariest, in my opinion. Which brings me to my question. What is the scariest episode of Night Vale in y'all's opinion? Thank you all. Hope you have a nice day. Rose, P.S. I also re-listen to Night Vale sometimes, and in one of the episodes between 20 and 29, I think Cecil mentions the Smithwick House, which I think is neat. I also think it is neat. Yes. I can't think off the top of my head which one I thought was... No. You know what? The one with the mud in the people's mouths, and they were I fucking hate that one. Freaked my shit. That one freaked me out. Oh, it still gives me the willies.
I think, for me, Sandstorm with the killing, the double killing one. And then you don't know if you killed your double or you are your double. That sort of like being yourself but not being yourself thing always really scary to me. The like not being present for being like mentally present. And anyway, so yeah. And it's also like pretty violent. Violence scares me a lot. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Sandstorm.
I think this one's got to be up there for me because it makes me want to check behind every picture hanging on the wall to make sure there isn't a hole there. Like, there is a real ghost story element. I mean, it is. It's just a ghost story to me. It comes across that way, and I get that vibe, and it's creepy. So I'm with you, Rose. Up next, please welcome Harrison. Harrison writes, hello, Meg, Hal, and Symphony. I'm a lover of Welcome to Night Vale and Good Morning, Night Vale. I've been listening to your show since Good Morning's covering of Pyramid and have silently adored your work. Oh, thank you. I missed my chance to gush about my favorite episode, Water Failure, so I wanted to write about my runner-up, What Happened at the Smithwick House, episode 105, before you covered it. This is one of the episodes that left me with a genuine chill. The characterization of the father, the telltale hole, and Cecil's acting all formed this unique and chilling atmosphere. Carlos has mentioned that what had happened before made the whole scene even more spooky, as he came from the real world outside of Night Vale, so his previous encounter with the Smithwick Sitch would have as well. I also wanted to mention I am a Gen Z listener, and whenever Hal mentions a celebrity or cultural reference, I have no idea who or what it is. Harrison, you are banned from the show. You are banned forever. I'm sorry. I didn't want it to be this way, Harrison. No, I'm sorry. I have to do this. Harrison, listen. This will be a fun game for you because you are of a younger generation who has always had the internet, so you have Google available. When I make a reference as a fun game, you look up the reference and educate yourself. I promise it will make the episodes better when you hear the old man Hal make his weird 70s television show references. Here's one for you right now. Fred Travellina. Go look that one up. Thank you for everything you do. Harrison from Ontario. Harrison, thank you for writing in. Thank you for bluntly reminding me of how much older I am than you. And yeah, learn about stuff. Learn about older stuff. I did when I was a kid, and I feel like more enriched for it. I like to have a sense of cultural context from before I was born because it all leads to where we are now.
For sure. Totally. So you aren't like, Kanye introduced Paul McCartney to the world, because that is not the way that went.
I mean, and even earlier than that, even like old like radio shows, like all that stuff, like all that stuff is – and also that's how we preserve culture for future generations. We don't forget it.
Oh, yeah. Remember it. But
anyway,
yeah, you're right.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being a part of the Good Morning Night Vale community. Our next episode is 106 Filings. Until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Meg Bashwinner, and Hal Lublin. It is edited by Felicia Dominguez and mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Special thanks to our fans who submitted their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions or to tell us if this has already happened 4 years ago. This show is powered by our patrons like Allison Graham, Ashley Stern, Ira Tanner, Belinda I. Mathy, and Balthazar. If you are interested in supporting this show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, insider, hyper cool kid content, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. Calzone ingredient of the week is beef jerky. Just normal beef jerky. Nothing to see here. Bye.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Craner, and I wanted to tell you about one of my other podcasts, Random Number Generator Horror Podcast Number 9. So the thing is, my friend Cecil Baldwin, the voice of Night Vale, loves horror movies, and he's helping make the genre more approachable for me and hopefully for you too, one film at a time in a random order. Are you squeamish about horror movies? Look, I get it, and no worries. Just listen in and we'll tell you everything that happens. But do you love horror movies? Well, that's great too. Watch along with us each week. We've got nearly 200 episodes covering everything from The Shining to Leprechaun 4 in Space. I'm serious. We go in a random order. So check out Random Horror 9 wherever you get podcasts.